Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you, George, for leading us in prayer. So we're continuing this morning in our new series, Following in the Footsteps of Jesus, and hopefully that's the desire of your heart today. Certainly my desire. I want Him to be glorified in my life. I want to know what it is to be like my Savior more, and so today we're going to talk about prayer. As George said, we're going to talk about the heart of prayer, what it means to pray from our hearts and how the Lord cares about that. So I do want to say at the outset, I know prayer is a struggle for a lot of us. Some of the Christian leaders that I respect the most, probably universally, like all of them at some point, I've probably heard them say that prayer is a struggle for them. There's nobody. I mean, whoever your heroes of the faith are, I'm just telling you, they struggled as far as prayer goes. It's just hard sometimes. To really pray the way we want to pray and to feel like we have matured in that. And so I say that to give you this goal, because this is my goal. It's not perfection. Okay, I don't expect to be exactly like Jesus in this life, because I'm not going to be exactly like Jesus in this life. But I want to make progress. You know, I want to grow in knowing the Word of God. I want to grow in serving other people. I want to grow in my prayer life, and I think most of us do. And so I just want to give you that. We're wanting to progress in the Christian life and make progress in our prayer. But don't condemn yourself or let anybody else condemn you if you think, oh, I'm not a mighty prayer warrior on the level that the Apostle Paul was. Well, that's, you know, you're you. That's okay. But we want to make progress. So in the Bible, in 1 John, in chapter 3, verse 2, the Apostle John said, "Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is." And so I love that, because there is coming a day, because I'm really messy, and in some ways I'm not like Him, and I know that, and sometimes it really gets me down on myself. And I just want to let you know, there's coming a day when He appears, you're going to be perfected. Isn't that awesome? Like all those struggles and all the temptations and all those failings and that you hate, and you're like, man, I just wish I was done with this. Why can't I be just like Him? And it's coming. I want to give you that hope today. It's coming. That day is coming. We're going to be perfected when Jesus appears. But in the meantime, progress, right? In the meantime, we can be more like Him. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians, in chapter 3, verse 18, "And we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory were being transformed into His image, with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit." And what that means is God's working in you to make you a little more like Jesus. So that's good news too. So it's not you like striving and struggling and just working so hard. And, you know, it's good to have spiritual disciplines, but it's the Spirit working in you a little bit of time. You get to be a little more like Jesus until He comes back, and then He's going to perfect you. So this is just, we're going to talk about that work of progress today. Today we're looking, as we follow in the footsteps of Jesus, we're going to contemplate His practice of prayer. We're going to look at His practice of prayer and desiring for our prayer life to look more like His prayer life all the time. And so we're going to look at Matthew chapter 6. If you would turn in your Bibles, I don't know if you can, probably couldn't read the small print there, Matt 6, that's Matthew chapter 6. And I hope you brought your Bibles today. Maybe that's on your phone, but we've got plenty of those in the pew. But please open the Word of God, the most awesome book ever written. I hate to even call it a book because nothing else compares to it. But the most powerful, wonderful, miraculous book. Matthew chapter 6, we're going to start in verse 5. This is part of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. And there's a lot of biblical paths we could take today. As we talk about Jesus' prayer life, you know, we could look at words of prayer. We could look at forms of prayer. We could look at the occasions of when He prayed. We could look at outcomes of prayer. We could look at so many different things. But I know from the Word of God that God really cares about my heart, and He really cares about your heart. So today we're going to really look at the heart of prayer as we dig into Matthew 6, verses 5 through 15, and understand when we pray, as we just sang about moments ago, listen to our hearts. You know, that's what He's concerned about. More than the words, more than the posture, whether you're raising your hands or down on your knees, He's listening to your hearts. That's what He cares about. And I'm so glad that He does. So just to lay some background here about Jesus' prayer life, I believe from the Word of God that Jesus lived a life of prayer. I think that He was immersed in an atmosphere of just communion all the time, communication with God the Father. And I don't think he was at the mercy of his moods like I am. There's times where I'm just not feeling it. You know, I know it's like, okay, this is an occasion when I need to pray, and I'm going to pray because I should pray, but in my heart, I really don't feel like praying. Anybody else is that? Just your pastor. Yeah, I mean, there's times that my moods, my attitudes get in the way, but I don't think Jesus, I don't think he had that obstacle, right? He was, I think, always ready to be in that communion with God the Father and persist in prayer. The Bible tells us in Mark chapter 1 and verse 35, very early in the morning while it was still dark, Jesus got up, he left the house, he went out to a solitary place, and he prayed. It was a priority for him. In Luke 6 and verse 12, God's word says, one of those days Jesus went out to the mountainside to pray, and he spent the whole night praying to God. So he was up early in the morning before the sun came up praying. He was staying up all night praying. Jesus was a man of prayer. We see him praying in every situation of life, in the Word of God, at his baptism. He's speaking with God the Father. He's praying during temptations. He's praying when he's selecting the apostles. We see him speaking with God the Father in prayer. At the Mount of Transfiguration, Jesus is praying. At Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus is praying. At the cross, Jesus is always praying. And so I think what a great model for me that I need to do that. Even simple things like before meals, Jesus is giving thanks, blessing the food. He's all the time just a communication. Jesus is praying all the time. And when we look at the content of Jesus' prayers, we see it's very relational, you know, with God the Father. He is speaking with the Father that he knows. It's not detached. It's not distant like our prayers might be sometimes. And there's this heart-to-heart connection going on as Jesus prays. It's very relational. And people noticed. People noticed. The people around Jesus saw there's something about Jesus when Jesus is praying that looks different than when I pray. You know, the apostles, they noticed there's a difference between the prayers of Jesus. You know, they had rabbis and priests that knew the Word of God thoroughly, that knew, that had been raised and trained to pray professionally, you know. And they know how to pray, and they're praying all the time. But the apostles noticed there's something different when Jesus prays than when the priests pray, or when the rabbis pray, or when the pagans and heathens pray. They've got their prayers going, and they're enthusiastic, and they're crying out to their gods, and the apostles know there's something really different here with Jesus. And even as they look at themselves, you know, they understand there's something going on that's different with Jesus that we want. That we want to pray that way because it's not like anybody else. It's intimate with God. He's praying with a God that his prayers were real and were strong. And just, I think with everybody else, Jesus is probably the only one praying who comes away from prayer completely satisfied, that, you know, that it was spot on, you know. But everybody else, they know it's just not the same. And so in Luke chapter 11, in verse 1, they felt this need. They ask him, Lord, would you teach us how to pray? Teach us to pray. And so, you know, it wasn't something new. He was teaching them all the time. He was praying in front of them all the time. And he addresses it on multiple occasions, talking about prayer. He used illustrations. In Luke 18, he talked about being persistent. He gave them this story, this parable about an unjust judge and how this person came. They had a request, and they just kept bugging him and bugging him and bugging him. And, you know, God is just and gracious and generous. But Jesus' point was, guys, don't ever cease praying. You know, just continue, no matter what. Just persist in prayer. He's telling them, you need to have this communion with the Father all the time, no matter what. And Jesus knew with the apostles, just like he knows with us, you're going to need that. Because you're going to have situations where a loved one passes. You're going to have a situation where somebody's ill. You're going to have a situation where you're being persecuted and slandered and lied about for my name's sake. And you're going to need that connection with the Father. So don't give up. No matter what the situation is, continue in prayer in the times of grief and loss. And no matter what the situation, you must persist in prayer. In 1 Thessalonians 5:17, I love how the Apostle Paul just gives a little short version of that. He said, guys, pray without ceasing. Just don't stop. Continue praying all the time. And Jesus encouraged that too. In Luke 11, he talks about asking and seeking and knocking. Ask, seek, and knock. If you want an answer, if you want the door to be opened, right, you need to persist and continue in those things. And in the Greek, it's in the present imperative. That means it means keep doing it all the time. Keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking all the time. Keep on praying. And Jesus taught us to pray with confidence, not because we pray the right words or because we're worthy, but because God cares about you, because he's listening, because he wants you to pray, because God is faithful. And it's honoring to God. When we persist that way, especially when you don't see the answer and you don't even feel like praying, but you're still on your knees crying out to God and you do it anyway, it honors him because you know he's a God of his word. He's a God who hears my prayers. He's a God who in his way is going to supply for my needs, and I believe that no matter what I feel or think. So anyway, there's a little biblical foundation for Jesus and what he taught on prayer. Matthew 6, starting in verse 5, learning something about the heart of prayer. Excuse me. When you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites. It means pretenders. Don't be like the phonies. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets that they may be seen by men. So there's a problem with their motive, a problem with their hearts. Assuredly, I say to you, they have the reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut the door, pray to your Father who is in secret. And the Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, don't use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think they're going to be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things that you have need of before you ask him. Let me just ask a question. We'll just pause there. What's wrong with praying in public? Nothing. You know, Jesus prayed in public, right? Jesus wasn't sinning when he was praying in public. There's nothing intrinsically wrong with praying in public. What's wrong with thanking God publicly in front of people, or maybe asking God for things publicly? The reason why Jesus had a problem is that the folks who were doing that the apostles are seeing are phonies. They're not praying the same thing privately. They're not connecting with God privately, and they're just kind of doing it in public to make a show of things. Look how religious we are. Look how eloquent we are. And so Jesus is saying, listen, don't be like the phonies, okay? Just be real. Pray the same way publicly that you do privately. Be the same person before God. Have that same connection with him. I think what Jesus is getting at here has to do with the heart. That's what he's talking about, not how things appear, but he's talking about the heart. I think Jesus is saying, guys, here's what I want you to know about how I pray. You need to pray with a sincere heart. You need to pray with a sincere heart. And these guys, these priests weren't. When they were praying in public, they were making a big show. It wasn't sincere at all. So Jesus is telling us, pray with a sincere heart. And Jesus says, don't have vain repetition. Didn't he just say, keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking, repeat yourself? What's wrong with repeating yourself? Don't have vain repetition. Jesus prayed in repetition. Jesus repeated prayers. So did the Apostle Paul. The problem is when it's vain repetition. The problem is when you have a prayer that you've memorized, even something like what we call the Lord's Prayer, which we're going to talk about in a minute, and it's just words. It's not from your heart. It's just like, hey, I know the words to say, and so that's going to manipulate God to bless me. You know, when you come at it just thinking it's the words, it's not my heart. God cares about your heart. And so, you know, it's fine to pray, memorize prayer, but your heart must be engaged. It's got to be sincere. You know, we can pray the words of Jesus. We can say things like, God, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, and not have a surrendered heart to God at all when we say it, and having no intention of His kingdom coming and changing my plans. And so He's saying, listen, when you pray that, when you pray for the will of God, you better mean it. And Jesus is saying, listen, these heathen, they've got wrong thinking. They believe wrong things about God, that you're going to manipulate God with your words. You're not. They believe wrong things about themselves, that you actually have the power to do that by repeating things over and over. And Jesus is saying, that's not God. God cares about your heart, and He wants you to know His heart. And that's what prayer is. You communicate from your heart. I was reading a story from Tony Evans, Pastor Tony Evans, and he talked about this man in the Church of England. And this man was uneducated. His speech was not eloquent, and he was just really very poor with speaking. And he's praying in the church. And this lady overheard this man praying, and she said, young man, that is the worst grammar and articulation and the worst praying I have ever heard in my life, and I would be disgusted for God to hear me pray like that. And he turned and he looked at the woman and he said, lady, I wasn't talking to you. Amen. Amen. And so I just want to encourage you in your prayer life, whatever you think of your prayer life, it's just your heart talking to a God who loves you so deeply and wonderfully, and don't worry about what anybody else thinks about your words. Don't worry about it. It doesn't matter. They're not who you're praying to. You know, I'll just tell you this right now. I've got my fleshly temptations like you guys do sometimes, and there's times I've heard people pray from a pulpit, you know, publicly, and I'm wrestling not analyzing how they're praying. To where I think it's my place to critique that in some way. Well, they should say, or they should have, and God burdening me saying, they're not praying to you. They answer to me. You worry about you. So just pray freely. But God wants your heart. He wants you to communicate from your heart. And He is not impressed with how great of a speaker anybody is. He's impressed with sincere hearts like Jesus. So how does Jesus want me to pray? It's a great question. I'm glad you're all asking how Jesus wants you to pray today. In this manner, therefore, pray. In this manner, He's saying. He's not saying you got to pray these words. Pray in this way. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Do you hear the worship there? And what Jesus is saying. Jesus is saying, guys, listen, I know you want to pray like I pray, and I know you want to know how to pray, and part of that is you got to pray with a worshipful heart. You got to worship the God you're talking to. You need to glorify Him. You need to glorify His name. You need to invite His will and His kingdom and His righteousness into this world, into your life, into your heart. There was a pastor a long time ago, Robert Law, and in his study, in his commentary on 1 John, he wrote, prayer is a mighty instrument, not for getting man's will done in heaven, but for getting God's will done on earth. God wants us to pray with a worshipful heart like Jesus, that we would worship Him. And that's not just individually, that's corporately. We talked last week, in the sermon last week, about corporate worship, about why we gather and the importance of gathering and how we worship as one. We worship collectively, gathered as the body of Christ. And in last week's sermon in Luke 4, it said, on the Sabbath, Jesus went into the synagogue, as was His custom. He went to worship, right? It was built into His life, these times of worshiping together. And Jesus, He gives us this prayer notice. Yes, He cares about your heart individually, but Jesus' words, He says, our Father. It's collective. It's all of us. Our Father, we pray together, we worship, we commune with the Father together, not only individually, and we seek His will together. Our Father in heaven. So we aren't just the only one praying. It's His will. We pray, your will be done on earth, but not just for me. God, I'm praying for your will for all of us, for the church, for your people. And so when God answers your prayer, it's good for us to keep that in mind, because when God answers my prayer, he's not just answering my prayer that's in my interest, he's answering my prayer that's in the best interest of us all, of the church. You guys, you may know this if you're familiar with the Old Testament. I know a lot of you, you know that oldest sons, is anybody in here an oldest son in your family? I'm not. We got one oldest son. Any other oldest son? A few oldest sons, okay. So back in the day, if you're an oldest son, you're going to love this, you know, if you didn't know. Back in the day, oldest sons with the Hebrew people, they always got a double portion of the inheritance because they were so much more cool than, it had nothing to do with how worthy they were of them being so cool and wonderful or better than anybody. They got a double portion because if anything happened to dad, it was upon the oldest son to care for the family. It was their responsibility to step in and to look after their siblings, to look after their mom. It wasn't because they were a big shot or better than anyone else. When God provides for your needs and my needs, I pray for my needs all the time in every way, emotionally, financially, physically, spiritually, all my needs. I take before him and I pray for those things. And he invites that, but I got to understand when I pray that his answer to the prayer is to take care of the family. It's not just to take care of one. And so when I pray, even if I'm praying just something for me, just like with those older sons receiving a double portion, whatever they received, it was to take care of family. And so same thing with God. You know, I go to God with whatever request that it maybe has to do with me. I need to understand his will be done on earth means caring for family. So he may answer me in a way that benefits somebody else. And I need to rejoice in that because he cares about all of us. He cares about the whole church, and so we need to know that when he answers. He provides for the needs of us all. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You know, as I read that, I have to acknowledge I'm so dependent upon God. For my next breath, for my next word, for my next meal, dealing certainly with sin in my life, dealing with temptation, battles. You know, the Bible says that there's a battle going on with Satan, that there's spiritual warfare. I am totally not equipped apart from God to deal with that. It is his power, his presence, and so I go to him. But part of that is I've got to forsake self-sufficiency, right? If I'm like, hey, God, I got this, but, you know, if you could have my back if I drop the ball, that's not setting me up for a good answer. He's going to have to deal with humbling me probably before anything else. We need to understand, you know, Jesus even, the Bible says he made himself as nothing, as though a servant when he came. He made himself dependent, even though he's still God. Dependent on the Father, dependent upon the presence of the Holy Spirit. And so we need to pray with a dependent heart. Pray with a dependent heart. When we go to God and recognize, God, I need you for everything. For everything. Verse 8, Jesus said, your Father knows the things that you have need of before you ask. He knows your dependency, right? He knows you need him. So why pray? Don't be bashful. Why pray? Well, that's great. That's a great answer. One, he tells us to, right? The Lord said it, and that's good enough for me. Amen. Why else? Why pray? Amen. Great answers. Yeah, it's a privilege to have that relationship with him, to be able to go to him in prayer, and Jesus purchased that relationship. Why else? Why pray? Because he hears us. Amen. I want to share with you, if you turn to James chapter 4 for a minute, turn to the book of James chapter 4. Starting in verse 1. Where do wars and fights come from? The ones that are among you, do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and you do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war. Saying you strive and work so hard to get what you're entitled to, what you think you need, what you want, but you do not have because you do not ask. For all your effort, for all your going to war to make sure that what you want happens, it doesn't. Why? Because you don't ask Him. You don't stop and lay down your agenda and just ask your Father. You ask and you don't receive because you ask amiss to spend it on your pleasures. But you know, it's so clear here in James that prayer is God's appointed means to meet your needs. It's not your effort. Now, He gives us skills and He gives us energy and He gives us friends and He gives us opportunities and He blesses us with all these things. But if you approach life trying to operate in those things, detached from God, detached from prayer, it's not going to work out. His kingdom come, His will be done in your life. Prayer is God's appointed means of having your needs met. This is so, so crucial. Because prayer is what prepares you to not only get the answer that God has for you, but to use it properly. You see, if I let's say I'm wanting to get a new job, and I'm going to get my great resume going, and I'm going to go get a new haircut. That's a joke. And I put on my nicest clothes, you know, and I've got a buddy who works there, and they're going to put a word in for me. That's all great. But if I approach that just not dependent on God, not relying on God at all, and I just go in, even if I get the job, even if I receive that blessing, I'm not going to receive it in the way that I should. It's not going to result in glory and praise to Him because I'm going to think, I did it. What a great resume I had. Of course they should hire me. What a great friend I have in management who put that work. You know, if I go in there and it's just me and my effort, God's not going to be glorified in that. When we come to God in prayer, when we humble ourselves and we say, God, would you do this? And you work through whatever means you want, Lord, but I've got this need. And God, would you help me? Would you guide my thoughts with this resume, God? Would you open a door in that? Lord, I am completely dependent upon you. And you know what, Lord? If you're not going before me in this, I don't even want that job. Give me a job that pays half as much if you'll be glorified. God, you give me what you want to give me. If that's our attitude and that's how we come to God in prayer, He'll guide you. And He'll be glorified in what the answer is for that. Jesus finishes this prayer with this supplement, kind of, to this disciples' prayer. It's actually, Lord's Prayer is not a good name for that prayer. It's more like the disciples' prayer because He's teaching them what to pray. But Jesus says, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses." So if we're going to follow in Jesus' footsteps with our prayer life, if we're going to really have a heart towards God the way that we should when we pray, the way He wants us to, that it's going to transform us and glorify Him, we have to pray with a forgiving heart. You have to pray with a forgiving heart, because if you weren't forgiven, you wouldn't even have that access in prayer, right? It's because you're forgiven that you can ask of your Father. Jesus, in saying this, He's not saying, listen, you're going to earn forgiveness by forgiving others. That's not at all what He's saying. God's Word says in 1 John, we love because He first loved us, right? We are able to love God and to love other people because He has first loved us, and it's a response to what He's done. And so Jesus is saying, listen, in view of God's mercy for you, in view of, of His forgiveness of you, you have got to come to prayer forgiving everyone. When you come to God, listen, if you're going to really be a son or a daughter talking to your Father, you better act like it. You need to forgive. Come with a forgiving heart. When do you have God's forgiveness? I've got it every day, and I need it every day. I need God's forgiveness all the time. And Jesus saying, okay, if it's going to be your heart talking to the Father's heart, who do you need to forgive before you start making requests about anything? And I know apart from God, this is not possible, but I'm going to tell you, from what I see in God's word, He wants you to forgive everybody. He wants you to forgive everybody. And He wants you to forgive them everything. To hold no judgment and condemnation toward anybody, no matter what they've done. And I know you've got to ask God to help you do it, to do it through you. But He commands it. He commands it. He's saying, listen, you have got to forgive. Come with a forgiving heart. It's a good place to pray. Why don't we pray? Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for who you are. God, we acknowledge, we know that you have created everything, that you are holy, that you have created everything that we see, you've created everything we don't see, God, that you have created it in your wisdom and in your power, that you spoke the universe into existence, and that you not only created it, but you sustain it, that it is by your will that any of this even continues, and that you have created it for your glory. And to reveal who you are, God. And God, we know that you are merciful, that you take a race of beings who have taken up arms against you in our hearts and rebelled against you, and you say, I'm going to send my son. Because no matter what you've done, I still love you. And I'm going to send my son to take all of your sin and make you right with me, and to have the victory over sin and death on your behalf, God. And you're a God who takes those who are rebellious and makes them dearly loved sons and daughters that receive your unconditional love. Father, thank you for loving us in that way. Lord, we pray in Jesus' name that you would give us a heart like Jesus. As we go throughout the day, as we pray without ceasing in every circumstance and just do life listening to you and sharing our hearts with you, would you help us to be sincere? And it would just remind us of your grace in those moments where we know we're a phony, where we're not sincere for what we're praying or saying. Help us to receive that grace and that mercy. Lord, would you help us to have worshipful hearts when we pray? God, thank you that you invite us to bring our needs, but would you help us to be reminded to know that you are so worthy of us just pausing and acknowledging your character and your beauty and just worshiping who you are? Lord, would you remind us how dependent we are upon you when we pray? What a beautiful thing. How wonderful to be dependent on you. Thank you for that witness from Brad earlier. How good it is to come to the end of ourselves and say, God, I can't, but you're a great Father and you can. Thank you, Father, for carrying me through this moment that I don't even want to be in. Thank you, God, when we can claim that dependency on a God who is so good and so capable that you can meet every need beautifully, more than I can even ask or imagine. Thank you for that dependency, God. Give us dependent hearts. And Father, would you help us to have forgiving hearts? Lord, would you remind us when we draw near to you with our emotions and our will and our words, would you remind us, Father, you have forgiven us of so much. You have forgiven us of so much running away from you, deliberately running toward darkness, running toward sin. And yet you welcome us home like the prodigal son and daughters, and you say, I love you. I forgive you. I'll cleanse you. Welcome home. You are so, so forgiving to us. Help us to forgive others. Help us to forgive everyone, everything, because that's the way you forgive me. That's my experience in my heart, is that I'm forgiven and I don't deserve it. Would you help us to forgive those who don't deserve it? Because you've forgiven them. Remind us that you are God. Remind us that you love us on our best day, that you love us on our worst day, and you want us to spend time with you always, no matter what the day's like. Help us to embrace that conversation, Lord. And Lord, I ask if there's anybody here, and the sound of my voice, God, whether it's in the sanctuary or watching online, if there's anybody who just knows that they began this day just so far from you, in their thoughts or in their words or their actions, or that, God, would you just remind them of the truth that you say, everybody who calls upon me, I'll answer. Those who love you, who call upon your name, that you will deliver today, you will rescue today, you will be with us, you'll make a way, that you're a wonder-working God. And we're not far from you. That you're right here with us. God, we pray for those who are on the outside looking in, who aren't family yet, God, I pray, would you do whatever it takes, God? Would you draw them with your loving kindness or give godly sorrow that leads to repentance, God? But would you draw those who are outside of your family to the cross today, that they can know what it's like to be born again and to be cleansed and to have an awesome Heavenly Father and to be part of a great family? Lord, your kingdom come. Your will be done today on earth as it is in heaven. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.